when troubles of life are o'er, and we shall meet on that shore. It's gonna be wonderful in heaven on high. When burdens are all laid down, we wear a bright rolling crown. It's gonna be wonderful in the by and by. It's gonna be wonderful. No weeping for the one that's dead. It's gonna be wonderful in the by and by. When all the redeemed get there and glory lies everywhere, it's gonna be wonderful in heaven on high. When all of those millions stand rejoicing upon that shore, it's gonna be wonderful in the by and by. It's gonna be wonderful. Somebody, it's gonna be wonderful. Beyond rats are right. Tears are shed. No weeping for the one that's dead. It's gonna be wonderful in the by and by. Oh, they'll be shouting all those years of glory. They'll be shouting all those years. Shouting all those hills when we reach that land of which we heard the story. They'll be shouting all those hills of life. I'm gonna wear a crown.
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 When the trumpet sounds.
When that trumpet sounds.
When that trumpet
sounds.
That name. What would we do without it? In the book of St. Matthew, if you'll turn, please, with me, we will go to chapter 6 this morning, and I want to preach on an extremely important subject. Could I tell you that I'm preaching to Brother Chambers this morning as well as to you? Would that make you feel a little better at me, maybe? I'm preaching to Brother Chambers as well as preaching to you, because this subject really got on my heart in the middle of the night this week. I'm preaching on multitudes of prayers that cannot be answered. Multitudes of prayers that cannot be answered. If you would just gaze around the church world, you would look at the secular world outside the church, you would discover that there are literally multitudes of prayers being prayed. Oh yeah, there's some prayers being answered. There's no doubt. But there's a multitude of prayers that's not being answered. And the Bible has a reason for it. And the Bible has an answer for it. And I know I'm going to step on some toes. And I know I'm going to walk on my feet. But I want to preach out of my heart this morning about prayer. I believe that the line of strength in the church has to start with prayer. No doubt. Now, the disciples wanted to learn how to pray. They came to Christ, converted, but they didn't really know how to pray. That was not something in the Old Testament. It was a ritual. It went through rituals. There was some great prayer warriors in the Old Testament, but as a whole, it was a ritualistic world of religiosity that lost the fire, the power. So these disciples came to Christ needing to learn how to pray. So let's read a lot of verses here, almost too many, but we'll start with verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut the door, notice that, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I like that. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, pretty words, fancy thoughts, shiny kind of examples. Use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. Now notice this. Before ye ask him. Hey, your Father knows all about you this morning. Your Father knows what you have need of. Even before you ask him. But he says you have not because ye ask not. So remember that statement. You have not because you ask not. Now go to verse 9. After this manner thou shalt pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Isn't that beautiful? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What a text of scripture. I could read that. You take every verse serious, every part serious. I wouldn't even have to preach. Because that is a message all in itself. Now let's pray. that God will help Brother Chambers to be a shepherd this morning and to say things that might bring you into the realm of mighty prayer, mighty praying, mighty prayers, that your prayers might be answered. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to answer my prayers. He has at times. He hasn't at times. I'll take the blame when he hasn't. I'm certainly not going to put it on him, because it's never his fault. Never, 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 never. Would you say never? Never God's fault. Father, help me this morning. I give myself to you by the Holy Ghost, that you would lay a hand upon this pastor. Father, I want to preach this in a way that will change somebody's life. I want somebody to become an old-fashioned Hollywood saint. An old-fashioned Hollywood saint. A mighty prayer warrior that everybody in the community goes to find when they need a miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I guess some of you are old enough to remember when there were certain saints that we called Hollywood saints. That's a Hollywood old man. I think of Brother Buck Lindsey. You know what I think of? That old-fashioned term, a Hollywood saint. I think of Sister Dot Lindsey, his sister, older than he by a couple of years. When I think of her, I think of a Hollywood saint. There are Hollywood saints. I think of Brother Ray Loftus, lives over in Clover. He's a Hollywood, old saint of God. His son said to me some time ago, Brother Chambers, there's not many of them left like my dad. He included another. I won't even mention that. But he said, where are they at? And I said, it's your fault, son. You were raised by him. Why don't you like him? Why don't you grow up in the Lord and become an old-fashioned saint of God? I think the greatest need in the church world is some old-fashioned Hollywood saints. They don't have to be old. They don't have to be gray-headed. They don't have to be in their 70s. They can be in their 30s and their 40s. But we need some old-fashioned Hollywood saints. We need some prayer warriors. We need some men and women that pray until there's an answer. That pray until there's an answer. And they can even tell you when the answer's coming. They really can. Thank God for old-fashioned Hollywood saints. Now, let's start. We're going to go to three scriptures this morning. First, we're going to be here in Matthew 6. Then we're going over to James 1. Then we're going to Hebrews 10. And I want you to take your Bible, keep it open, and I want you to let God talk to you this morning about being an old-fashioned prayer warrior. I want God to get a hold of you to be an old-fashioned prayer warrior. Now, the first thing I see as I think of praying is I know the attention must be given to God. We must think of our Heavenly Father. And you notice how the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples started. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How about that? Hallowed be thy name. So I decided to study the word hallowed a little bit. It's only in the Old Testament 19 times. In the New Testament twice. New Testament both times. It's in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew and Luke. And it's a powerful word. It really got a hold of me because this idea lay at the foundation of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, until there is a concept of God, until there is a concept of the Heavenly Father that renders him as a hallowed, eternal Father in your mind, prayer has no foundation. Prayer has no foundation. The foundation of prayer is a respect and a sense of the hallowedness of God. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? How many have a sense of the fear of God? How many have a sense of the awesomeness of God? How many have a sense of the glory of our Heavenly Father? How many fear Him with a kind of reverence that makes you tremble? Did you know the Old Testament Jew, when they would copy the Bible, they had to do it word by word, print by print, verse by verse. And when they would come to the name of God, they would stop. They would go take a bath. They'd write the name and leave out the middle letter. They would not spell the whole name. And so, to the Jewish mind, God was so hallowed that you couldn't even write His name in the copy of the Scripture without a sense of reverence before the Heavenly Father. They reverenced Him. The holy things of God possessed them. Now, something has happened in our world that is measurable and very evident. That is, there has been a loss of respect for God. The fear of God has dissipated and disappeared. And most new people that we get to walk into our church, we've got to start at ground level. That's why every one of these new people we're talking to, we've got to have people who will mentor them. People who will take responsibility for them. And people who will take a burden for them, like Deja and Dion. They've got to have somebody that's under the burden for them, and I think they do. And I'm grateful for that. And that's how it must be. And maybe we will reach them. I don't know that, but we must give our best. God only makes us accountable for our best. God don't make us accountable for the end results. How many knew that? He just makes us accountable for giving them our best. To go after them with all of our hearts. Well, we live in a world that's lost the fear of God. I mean, I can remember when I first got saved, things that I see now in the church life were not ever seen. They just was never seen. You didn't see God's saints coming in late. You didn't see God's saints that treat the responsibility of a church as though it was a kind of negligible thing. You just didn't see it. And there was such a devotion. I remember so many prayer warriors until it was overwhelming for me. We'd get down to pray in the church and it sounded like a roar. How many remember that? Not many of you. It's been some years, but it was powerful. These were praying saints. These were saints that had developed. Now, let me stop here and give you a thought that you must remember. Prayer is a learned spiritual lifestyle. You don't start off when you get saved and be a great prayer warrior. The Bible makes it plain that we should pray, that we should build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, developing the power of a great prayer life, developing the strength of a great prayer life. Every one of you need to understand that you can become a great prayer warrior. You can become a prayer warrior that can get a hole through to the sky. You can become a prayer warrior that brings your family to Christ, that brings lives into the house of God to be saved. You can be a prayer warrior, a great one. But it starts and moves and we grow. The Bible said, walking in the light as He is in the light. Remember that great scripture? Walking in the light as He is in the light. You can read all things in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The process of becoming a great prayer warrior must be your devotion. You're the only one can decide, I'm going to be a great prayer warrior. I'm going to be a great prayer warrior. I stand before you this morning to tell you that I am determined these last days and years of my life to be the greatest prayer warrior I've ever been. And I can tell you the last couple of months, I found a new level of praying. I found a level where my whole being just shakes apart and comes unglued in hunger and crying out to God. And you say, Brother Chambers, that's not necessary for me. I'm not trying to put it on you. I'm just trying to tell you that every one of us can grow and become a great prayer warrior. And God wants you to be a great prayer warrior. Let me leave something with you. Okay, raise your hand for a moment, will you? Holy Ghost, talk to us. Holy Ghost, don't let these be Joe Chambers' words this morning. Holy Ghost, don't let me be in any way just satisfying my own feelings. God, get a hold of me. I want to tell you something. If you could see the people that are right now in desperate need, that you could be the force and the source and the strength of changing their life if you became the kind of prayer warrior I'm going to preach about this morning. If you could just stand in front of yourself and say, hey, that one's waiting on me, and that one's waiting on me, and that lady's waiting on me, and my grandchildren are waiting on me, and my neighbor is waiting on me. If you could know how many people God has in the plan for your life. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. I'm here to tell you that God wants to make us prayer warriors. And God wants to change our life. Now, this term, hallowed, has got to become a very powerful term in our heads. Our God is a sovereign God. You ought to enter his presence with a sense of reverence and a sense of sacred surrender. You ought to enter into his presence when you get on your knees. You don't get there with some cocky feeling of your ability to pray a hole through the sky. You get on your knees in a reverence for a heavenly Father that cares about you and that cares about your world. And cares about every need around you and among your family. There's nobody he doesn't care about. That man that I went to find yesterday named Rodney. I don't know who he is except Rodney. And the home he was at, he's no longer there. And they don't even remember him. And they haven't moved and nothing has changed. And I know I was at the right house. We went there a second time, didn't we, Brother Joseph? You know, God is good, but I have a burden for that man. I don't know whether he lied to us. I don't know whether he was there or maybe, living in an unmarried relationship. I don't know what was going on, but all I know was there's a man on his way to hell, and we touched him, and his face lit up. And he was absolutely moved. I can think of another named Don, right down here in the community, Don Sargent. God got a hold of him and shook him standing in the doorway. Who was with me that night? Brother Dylan. God shook him. God shook him. I said, are you saved? He said, no. But I'll be at Bible study tomorrow night if you tell me what time it is. And he came twice. But now I can't find him. I went yesterday and the door was open. And I still couldn't get nobody to the door. The door was open and I couldn't get anybody to the door. I blew my horn. Buddy, when I go after somebody, I go after them. Did anybody else do that? Oh, yes, I go after them. I'm going to stay after Don. I really am. I'm here to tell you something. We got to reverence God and know that God really cares about people. He is the creator. He's the mighty God. And I reverence him this morning. Do you reverence God? Do you reverence God? In the Bible, it's only in the Bible now, the word hallowed 21 times. And let me name the things that are hallowed in the Bible. The Word. The Word of God is a hallowed book. It's a hallowed book. I'm here to tell you it's a hallowed book. The house of God is a hallowed place. The altar of God is a hallowed spot. Now listen, the Sabbath day is a hallowed day. That's the first time the Bible uses the word hallowed. He hallowed the seventh day. He hallowed it. Have you read that, Brother Marlon? He hallowed the seventh day. Made it a holy day. How many of you hallow the Sabbath day? We have a generation of people that the Sabbath day is nothing but a ball game day, a fun and frolic day. I was over at Trader Joe yesterday to get my milk and some other things. And I said to the cash register lady, I said, go to church tomorrow. I said, you do know one of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And she must have thought I was from Mars. You understand? She must have thought I was from Mars. She looked at me, what are you talking about? Did you know our world has forgot that Sunday is a holy day? Do you understand that? Somebody help me preach this morning. I'm not up here to put on a show, and I'm certainly not up here to get you shouting. That's for sure. I wouldn't be on this subject. I'm up here to talk to you out of my heart. I'm here to tell you, we have watched a world in my 65 years as a Christian go from a nation that had reverence for God until it is pitiful. Do you know, I can remember being at Black Mountain pastoring when the Methodists met up at Lake Junalaska, and the Black Mountain paper did a report on their meeting, and they made a motion at that meeting. Now, we're pastoring. It was in the 60s. And they made a motion that their pastors could no longer be prohibited from using tobacco. That it would be okay now for the Methodist preachers, men and women, to smoke or to chew or to dip. And they made that motion and passed it at Lake Junalaska. And I'm there at Black Mountain as a pastor and read it in the paper and get amazed that I am living in that era. Man, that's nothing bad at all now compared to what's happening. The same church now ordains homosexuals and lesbians as pastors. Our world is just going to hell. Let me tell you something else I remember. Pastoring in the old building, Brother and Sister Boone. Anybody remember the Boones? Brother Marlon Wood? Maybe nobody else. Yes, Sister Bette Wood. The Boones. They came to our church. You know why they came? They were members of the Oakdale Baptists. And the Oakdale Baptists allowed the women to come to church on Wednesday night dressed in men's attire. The young people started wearing breeches to church. And they said, we're not staying in no church that allows that. And they left the Baptist church and came to the Paul Creek Church on Little Rock Road because they wanted to be part of holiness. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing what's happened in our world in just a few years? Are you seeing how the sense of the hallowed has disappeared? Have you seen how the fear of God is gone? No wonder people can't pray and get a prayer through to God. You'll never live like that and get a prayer through to God. You'll never live like that. If you do not keep the Sabbath day holy, at least don't take my word, but start praying. Ask God to show you how you're treating the Sabbath. Ask God if it's okay to go out to restaurants on Sunday. Ask God if it's okay to go shopping on Sunday. Ask God. Don't ask me. You know my answer. Ask God. Let him answer you. Hey, I'm talking about the hallowed. I'm talking about people who reverence the hallowed and therefore can get a prayer through to God. Do you agree that if you don't reverence Almighty God, you can't get a prayer through? How many would raise your hand and agree with that? See? And we've watched it. It's happened. And we sit right here in this church. And some of you are thinking, what in the world is happening to Brother Chambers? I'm just preaching the old-fashioned gospel to you. I'm telling you what's happened to the church world. And I'm telling you why there's a multitude of people praying. And they're getting nowhere. And they don't understand it. And we have the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are going to still be part of us? Raise your hand. Let me see if I'm losing anybody this morning. I'm not losing you. You know better. You know what I'm telling you is old-fashioned truth. If you don't holler God, if you don't holler that altar, you go to church. I was at a church some time ago, and the kids were romping over the altar and treating it like it was a playground. I appreciated Brother Joseph when he got up to preach that he said, you need to reverence the altar. It's not a place to pray. You remember saying that? And you hadn't seen what I'd seen, I don't think. But I'm telling you, the house of God is a hallowed place. When you enter those doors, you don't enter into here to eat popcorn and to make calls on your telephone and to send texts over to another city or another country. You enter this place to reverence the holy and the right. Rush to be higher. Hallelujah. If this don't make you shout, what can make you shout? Raise your hand in love on him a minute, will you? Raise your hand in love on him. Hallowed, hallowing God and the holy is where prayer begins. When I enter in his presence, I just tremble at the majesty of his name. This very morning, before Brother Ken and Brother Marlin got here, I was sitting there shouting. I was grateful nobody could hear me. You couldn't hear me because you're over in your trailer. I'm telling you, I was praising him because I got into the holy, into the hallowed place. I want to tell you something. God, listen to me now, every one of you. God is inviting you into his hallowed presence that he can make his glory known to you. God is welcoming you into his hallowed presence. He goes on to say, if somebody has treated you wrong, you forgive them whether they ever ask you or not. And you go back to chapter 5 of Matthew, and you'll see why he says, if you go to the altar and you remember that somebody has an ought against you, you get up from the altar, you leave your gift, and you go make that thing right, and then you come back and offer your gift to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about reverencing God. I'm talking about the foundation of prayer. Does this sound like the foundation of prayer? Does this sound like I'm on target tonight to tell you that God is awesome? He's holy. He's eternal. He's marvelous. But he's tender and he's merciful and he's gentle and he's loving. And everything you can think of that's beautiful, God is every bit of that. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Our secretary here at the church has been suffering. She's had two or three problems come against her. And she came to me Friday a week ago. And she said, the doctor just told me that first problem I've been dealing with is gone. It's over. And I got to go back next Thursday to just check on this last one. And the Holy Ghost spoke before I could even think and said, it will be perfect and fine because it's over and it's gone. She came in Thursday saying, Brother Chambers, she was so excited. It's gone. It's over. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're serving a God that wants you to be a prayer warrior for him. He's serving a God that wants to make you a place of holiness and blessedness. He needs some hallowed saints in this day. I want to be one of them. You know what I want to do right here? I want to stop a minute. And I don't know if this touches you or not, but it sure has got a hold of my heart. I want to be a hallowed saint. I'm so sick. I remember the Ray Hugheses and the Wade Hortons and those great old men that were hallowed saints. If I had to go through the whole denomination today, I wouldn't know where to find one of them. I wouldn't know where to find one of them. But God still got a few, and I just want to be one of them. How about you? Raise your hand if you'll say, God, I'm dedicating myself to be a hallowed saint. Stick it up and leave it up there. Hallelujah. God sees it. And God's going out to Corsair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a hallowed God. God's house is a hallowed place. God's word is a hallowed book. Sunday is a hallowed day. You pray about it, and I'll tell you what God's going to show you. I can tell you. I'm not going to tell you. God will take care of it. I promise you. It'll work, and it'll change your life. Amen. Let's go, if we might. The book of James. The book of James. This is a powerful passage. The next step, once you understand the hallowed, the holy, and you dedicate yourself to it. Let's read, beginning with verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith, your faith, worketh patience. Listen now, I'm trying to read it slow. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let your patience have perfect works, for ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Did you know that God is working in your life to make you the kind of Christian that he can use? And those tough places, those hard places, those deep, trying experiences are working patience that God may develop your perfect works. Have you thought about that? Oh, Brother Chambers, I've been going through a time of my life. Hallelujah. Praise him for it. Thank you for what you've been going through, because God is getting you ready to make you a hallowed saint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is letting your faith be tried. Your faith has got to grow. Your faith has got to develop. And could I tell you that faith doesn't develop until you go through tough places. There's no such thing as great faith that comes easy. There's no such thing as great faith that is the result of just some good things that's happened in your life. Great faith is the result of a man and woman who gets down to the very core of their trust and their confidence, and they don't waver, and they don't move, and they don't bulge. They just stand there and count on God. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Sam, I want this kind of faith. Well, quit complaining when things go wrong. And couldn't get all disturbed because you went through a tough place. And quit being all upset because somebody's mad at you. And quit being all upset because somebody gossiped about you. Just love them. Just love them. How many can love the people who don't like you? Let me see your hand. Can you? Can you love those folks who don't like you? Ain't as easy, is it? Isn't as easy. Excuse my English. Isn't as easy, is it? Oh, but you see, that's what he says. Faith worketh patience, and patience makes you perfect. If any of you lack wisdom, I like this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You lack wisdom? I do. If you don't, you're smart aleck. Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to be so plain there. We all lack wisdom, don't we? We all need to learn some more things, don't we? It's wonderful. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Oh, I need to know about keeping the Sabbath day. I need to know about the sacred altar. I need to know about something. Ask God. Go to God with all you got and believe him. He'll do it. You know, you say, if I ask him, I may not like the answer. That's the reason a lot of people don't ask God, because they're scared of the answer. And when you're scared of the answer, that means something is missing in your life. That means you need a place of surrender that you haven't reached. Okay? Verse 5-6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. How much of the church believes that God can, but doesn't believe that God will? Think about that. How much of the church believes that God is able, but they're not willing to trust that ability to shine in them? They reserve it for somebody else. They tell you how to have faith, but they've not learned. I'm telling you this morning that God wants you to holler him, oh, with all of your heart and soul, and then start coming to him believing that God is going to do what the Bible said he's going to do, and that God is going to answer your prayers, and God is going to make himself known. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Woo, hallelujah. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, anybody want to quote the next verse for me? Say it again.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
I got to keep him from starting preaching there. Can't you tell? Let that man think that he shall receive anything. Are you hearing me? Somebody, hey, I feel like I'm about to lose you. Somebody raise your hand if you're listening to what I'm saying. You're listening to what the Bible is saying. If you don't trust God, if you don't believe him, he can't do a thing. God is not going to respond to your doubts and your apprehensions. God is watching for you to literally believe him. I want you to know when you come to hallow him, it will help you learn to believe him. Are you listening to me? Go back to that first point. When you hallow God and you see him in his majesty and his glory, then how can you doubt him? How can you doubt him? See, when you really hallow God, you can't doubt him. That's why hallowing God is at the foundation of all of this. You've got to learn to hallow God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means a double-minded woman is unstable in all their ways. I'm preaching to you this morning. Let me take a moment here. Let me just take a moment. How many of you have got grandchildren that are about to go to hell? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand if you've got grandchildren lost. How many of you got sons and daughters that are lost? Let me see your hand. How many of you got mothers and daddies and uncles and aunts that are lost? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. A grandmother, a grandfather. Now, I'm trying to get you to understand that if I can get you to take what the Bible is saying and learn to pray in the power of God's anointing with faith and confidence, knowing that God is not going to say no to you, you're going to be a producer of good things. And you're going to start bringing folks into church with you that you're going to win to the Lord. There's very few people that in this church has won anybody to Christ. And the reason you've won nobody to Christ is because you're not a hallowed saint yet in your prayer life. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm not saying you've not had some prayers answered. I'm just telling you that God's trying to get you to a level to where you become a hallowed old saint of God, where you can pray a hole through the sky and you can start bringing sons and daughters and loved ones. I'm one of those. Mother and I are together. We're going to pray and we're going to wait on God until our family is turned upside down. I hate what may happen. I don't know what can, you know, when you reject God and you know it, things get worse. The longer you reject God. Can I tell you a story? Let me tell you a story. I hate to tell this one, but I'm not going to use no names. Most of you will not have no idea. There was a man that used to be on fire in this church. He was one of the finest soul winners I've ever known in my life. That man was a soul winner. But something happened, and he lost his way and got out there in a bad situation. Well, one day, had an accident and almost got killed. I mean, he's in the hospital, don't know whether he's going to live or not. And somebody calls me, and I run to the hospital as fast as I can get there. And when I came in the door, he threw his hands wide open, his arms, I should say, and welcomed me. And he was a brand new man for 3 weeks. And I watched him turn. And I went to him. I remember the place I went to him at and stood there in front of him. And I said, "My brother, please don't go back where you were. Please listen to me. God has brought you out of that. If you go back," I don't remember how I said this, "you'll probably never be back again." I remember the day I got a call. I rushed to the hospital as fast as I could get there. Went right into the emergency room like I owned the place. And said, "Where is he?" Called his name. Oh, they said, "I'm sorry, he's already gone." He was dead. I stood there in that hospital. It was almost like I died standing there. I gave him my best. I did all within me. But you can't go but so far. And your children can't go but so far. And your loved ones can't go but so far. And your family can't go but so far. And the moment comes when they face the ultimate and is choose or die and lose your soul. And we are responsible, church, and prayer is the answer. Would you say it with me? Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the answer. Oh, Brother Chambers, you don't believe in this kind of praying. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I just want to be one of those. We go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to try to bring it to a close. I'm going to try to not preach too long to you, but Hebrews 10. I'll tell you, this is a powerful scripture. You got to hear it. You got to listen. Oh, hallelujah. You can be a prayer warrior. You want to be? Yes, I believe you do. Let's listen. Having therefore, brethren, this is Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Notice that word. Boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's read on. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Now, this is the verse I want to capture. Okay, listen. Let us draw near with a true heart. Is your heart true? Are you ready to give him all you got? Are you ready to give yourself to be a prayer warrior? A true heart in full assurance of faith. Are you ready to believe him? I mean, look the devil in the face and say, oh, Satan, listen to me. I believe God. And don't you tremble. Don't you tremble. Hallelujah. Having our hearts sprinkled. Listen, having our hearts sprinkled. Did you hear this? Having our hearts sprinkled. Are you listening to me? Having our hearts sprinkled. Hallelujah. I love this. Having our hearts sprinkled. Oh, I tell you what, I love this scripture. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is he talking about sprinkling? Did you know the blood of Jesus is still being sprinkled on the saints of God who come to him? I don't mean physically. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about metaphorically. I mean that when you come to him and you say, God, here I am. There's things that aren't what they ought to be, but I want the righteousness of God, and I'm depending on the blood. I'm claiming the blood, and I believe you to sprinkle my heart and my mind and my whole being with the blood until I am able spiritually to grow into the man that God wants me to be. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love verses like this. They're wonderful and they're powerful. Having our hearts sprinkled. Brother Danny has been talking about the sprinkling of the blood. You see, the blood of Jesus is on the altar. Literally, in a physical sense, it cannot be sprinkled. But in a spiritual sense, it is still being sprinkled. It is still being applied. It is still making men sanctified and making men holy. It's still taking little boys and making them and producing men with them and making godly saints that are powerful and mighty. See, that's what prayer is wrought in. Prayer is not something you can do by human strength. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. For he is faithful that promised. All right, look at me as I try to bring it to a close. I want to tell you, God wants you to be a prayer warrior. God wants me to be a prayer warrior. God wants to make Brother Dylan and Brother Joseph Gans to the greatest prayer warriors Charlotte has ever seen. God wants to do the same for Brother Derek and Brother Marlon and Brother Ken and Brother Charles and all over this building. God wants some men who can pray a hole through the sky. You can study all the histories of great revivals. And I want to tell you that every great revival that's ever come, there was one or two, maybe three, sometimes maybe a half a dozen men or women who had set themselves to pray, and God had made great prayer warriors out of them, and they literally birthed a revival by prayer. Nothing births a revival but prayer. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost anointed prayer. But most praying today is so empty and so powerless, and I cannot let that continue in our church. We have got to become great prayer warriors. Oh. me, saith the Lord God. I do nothing until I first show it to my servants, men and women of God. When I would move in a country, when I would move in a city, when I would move in a church, I must have those men and those godly saints who will give themselves utterly unto me and will pray in the power of my spirit by the authority of my blood. And when you pray in proper manner, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you, saith the Lord, but accomplishing my will, saith the Lord. Would you stand up in the name of the Lord? Would you stand up in the notes? Oh, help me. Would you just raise your hand and wait on God a minute and just pray so katarema happy answer? Hallelujah. Oh, God wants to move in the Paul Creek Church like we've never seen. Wants to save your family, Yvette. Flores wants to save your family, Marlon Clark, Juanita Chambers, every one of you. I want you to just stand in there and try to let faith kind of soar and look down the road a few months and watch the doors flinging open and old backsliders come running in, eat the course of Mohara and heading for the altar. Watch for my children and my grandchildren. Watch for Sister Yvonne's daughter. Watch for others across this family. When we have prayed and prayed and prayed, let the Holy Ghost pray until we touch the heavens. Oh, Korea, I'm telling you, there'll be a harvest. There'll be a harvest, Brother Beatty, and your daughter will be included. Hallelujah. Other family members will be included. And God wants to do it. And I say this in the name of the Lord. I don't say this by my strength and for my glory. Your family, Sister Dixie, all families all over this church, they're desperate. How many of you know and have some precious loved ones that are lost? Lost. If Jesus would come right now, can you imagine our loved ones that would be in the tribulation when the sun rose tomorrow? They would face hell like never imaginable. Hallelujah. Keep your hand up before him a minute, will you? Father, I love you this morning. I love you. I preach the word the best of my ability. I declare unto my people what the power of prayer can do. There's a multitude of prayers that's not being answered. There's a multitude of churches that haven't prayed a prayer and seen a miracle in so long that it would astonish them. Father, help us to be the center of Holy Ghost miracles. I want every saint of God who wants to be a prayer warrior to meet me around the altar. Would you please? Brother Chambers wants to be a prayer warrior. I want to be an old, hallowed saint. As they used to call them in these last hours. There's so few. I lost Brother Smith. I lost my prayer warrior. I lost my prayer warrior, Brother Charles. I could call Brother Eugene Smith. He'd get on his face with God, and he wouldn't quit till he got an answer. He wouldn't quit till he got an answer. And I did the same for him. He'd call me. Never forget the night I called him. He had shingles, and they'd been wrecking his little body for weeks and months. And that night, it was after 10 o'clock, and he went to bed at 9, but the Holy Ghost said, call him. And I called him, and the Lord healed him that night. Hallelujah. God is that healer. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. Would you raise your hand up and give yourself to him? I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to pray a hole through the sky for my mommy. For my mommy. I'm going to pray a hole through the sky for my children, my son, my daughter, my grandbabies. I'm going to pray till God uses me. Now I want you to pray with all your heart over the building. Would you? Just pray. Everybody, I want to hear you praying. Like the old saints used to pray. Open your mouth. Open your heart. Shout it out. Hallelujah. 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 Father, you spoke to us this morning, and I have no doubt you want to give Paul Creek a Holy Ghost revival. We've seen a good move, Father. We're grateful. We see all these kids like Dion and Asia. We see all of them, Don, and we just can name them. They're on our hearts, Lord. We don't want them to be lost. You've laid them on our hearts. You've sent us to their homes. Now, God, we got to see the results. We got to see the results, but not just them. We got to see our families, Father. We got to see our families, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I want to hear you praying. I want to hear you praying, ladies and gentlemen. I want to hear you praying, saints. Yeah, Christ of the Lord, Micaiah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, in heaven on high, when all of those millions say, rejoice in a part that shared. It's going to be wonderful in the by and by. It's going to be wonderful. Somebody.